can go ahead and be seated. Thank you very much, Brother Curtis. I want to ask you tonight, have you ever had what seemed like a coincidence, but it was so special that it was pretty evident that God was involved in it? This is what we could call providence, but it's another thing that we can call is divine appointments. And I want to preach tonight on divine appointments, and we're going to be looking at a passage in Acts chapter 8. You can turn there if you would like, but before we read that passage, I want to just reference a verse that many of you are familiar with in Psalms 37:23. I'm just going to read that verse to you. Psalm 37:23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I want you to think about that tonight. We're going to be looking at divine appointments. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know, God orders, arranges, and establishes the details of his children's lives, including some divine appointments. I want to just say a divine appointment is, this principle of divine appointments is recognizing that God is already in the process of dealing with the hearts of people. And as we get ready to launch out and go 2020 here in a couple of weeks, and I want to preach on this important topic because I want to help you and encourage you to be praying for divine appointments, because God does order our steps. And I believe that God works in mysterious ways, and not every visit we make, not every call that we make, not every person we meet may be a divine appointment, but many of them will be if we just listen to the Spirit of God. You know, a divine appointment is a meeting with another person that God has specifically and unmistakably arranged. And the Holy Spirit, he sets up those encounters because someone needs what we can offer to them. They need the gospel. And I've seen God work in so many ways like that in divine appointments. I don't know how many of you here tonight went through our Share Your Faith training, but I don't know if you remember, he talked about when we go out to be praying for God to lead where to go and to be looking for. I don't remember if he used the term divine appointments or not, but I do know that's what he was talking about. He was talking about how that he gave several examples of how God would lead them as they would go out to these divine appointments. But I want to just share a few of them with you that I've experienced, some big ones that I can never forget. I mean, there's been many divine appointments in my life, but these are some really major ones that I've never forgotten that are so significant. And I hope to share them just to encourage you. But I remember back in 2005, we hadn't been in Ghana very long, and there was a war going on in Cote d'Ivoire. Cote d'Ivoire was the country just right to the west of Ghana, and there was a lot of missionaries having to leave because of the war going on. And one of those families was Matt and Sarah Lipson, and they came to Takoradi, where we were living at the time. And it just so happened that we had leased a house that had, it was actually two houses in one. It had two stories, two levels, and so we had eight bedrooms. I mean, eight-bedroom house. It was really a huge house, and the bottom story had its own mini kitchen. It had one bedroom, one master bedroom, and then two other bedrooms along with it. There might have been two master bedrooms. Were there two? Yeah, there's two master bedrooms, and then one other bedroom, a kitchen, a dining room. And we had in the middle of our house, there was a little stairwell. It was one of those circular stairwells that went down. And so we had a carpenter come and built a little cover so we could set over on top of it so they could have privacy. And there was a door they could go out of the lower level to go outside. And so it worked out perfect. I mean, it was perfect. And we little did we know what God was doing. God was ordering their steps, and God was ordering our steps. I mean, God caused a war to get that couple to Cape Coast. And they'd been living with this not very long, and God opened up an opportunity for him to go to Cape Coast. And there was a missionary there that had gone on furlough. And so he goes to fill in for this missionary. And within a short time of having gone over there, come to find out, this missionary had committed adultery, and it was really bad, a bad situation. And he had left the field for good and wasn't coming back. And so finally he had to break the news to this small mission church and tell them what was happening. And it was just a big mess. But anyhow, in the process of that, he was brokenhearted because he knew God called him to Cote d'Ivoire. They'd spent 2 years learning French. And they did pray about that work, but they just didn't have a peace that that's what God wanted. And as soon as the dust settled, they were going to go back to the Cote d'Ivoire and where God had called them. And so little did they know that while all that was going on, we were praying about Cape Coast. God was putting Cape Coast in our hearts. And in fact, we had already made several trips over there to the Cape Coast School of the Deaf, and I'd already preached over there several times, and I was planning to start a church in Cape Coast. And so in the process of all that, just to make a long story short, I was able to go over there and meet several people from that small mission. It never organized into a church, and there's about seven or eight of them that came and joined us when we started our church in Cape Coast. And Brother Michael was one of those, and we had Albert, we had Brother Emmanuel, we had several others. But anyhow, the reason why I bring up the names is because here just the other day, I was talking with Brother Emmanuel, and he was one of our top students that graduated from the Bible Institute, and he was with us from the very beginning of our mission work, and he was my interpreter. Probably, I would say 99% of the time that we were in Ghana, he was my interpreter, and he was one of the best. I mean, I've had a lot of people from other churches that would come and say, that guy is the best interpreter. And anyhow, when we went to organize the work and ordain Brother Michael, Emmanuel was in South Africa going to university down there, I think in Joburg, and he was studying mental illness and all this. And so I really didn't know where his heart was, even though he was a great teacher and he loved to preach. But he was down there, and so we naturally ordained Michael. Felt like he was the man for the job at that time, and he's still there and doing a great job. Well, anyway, I got reconnected with Emmanuel here recently and just checking on him, seeing how he's doing. And he told me that he is now the interim pastor at Faith Missionary Baptist Church. And that church, their pastor had been guilty of some misconduct in the finances. And so the church was just really kind of going downhill. And so he stepped in, and he's now the interim pastor there leading that work. And I was just really excited to hear that, because just to know that, you know, all those years we invested to see God using and using those men that we trained. And it's not just one work, but there's several works that's going on as a result of that. And anyway, he was telling me that he has been listening to my sermons online, and he said he was really, really challenged with our theme, Go 2020. I mean, he's really challenged with it. And he said, in fact, we adapted that theme for the church this year at Faith Missionary Baptist Church, and he said we're really excited about going out and sharing the gospel, and he said we just need to get some gospel tracts. And so I'm doing some checking. I've been trying to get some fellowship track lead tracts, some free tracts, and get them shipped to him, and I just want to do what I can to help him in that church. And so that was just exciting. It just amazing. Little divine appointments like that. And in that group of people that we had met in 2005 and we started the church with was a couple named Christy and Gina Wright. And he was from Ireland. His wife was a Ghanaian. He was a contractor building houses and all that. And I'm just telling you, all of this was divine appointment. These people God put together, because I had no idea when we were going to Cape Coast how we were going to start a church. And we had only been in the country of Ghana for 6 months, and we were a little nervous about going to another town and starting another work. But God had it all planned out. And this couple, they were so generous that they donated the church land. And so that the land which we built, the church there, was land donated by that couple. And so, you know, God does some great, great things. And I remember one time we were out for evangelism one Saturday afternoon, and we were really burdened that day. We felt like the Lord was just wanting us to go to reach out to some deaf people, because my original plan was to start a deaf church, but God had other plans, and that group of people, they were all hearing people, and they wanted to join our work. And so we had a hearing and deaf church when we started. And so that day we decided we was going to go visit some deaf people and evangelize among the deaf. And so we had a man named Edward, Brother Edward. He's probably now about 60. He's probably about 62 or 3 years old now, I would say. And he also went to our Bible Institute. But anyway, we asked Brother Edward, said, "Brother Edward, we want you to lead us to some deaf people. We want to go reach out to some deaf." And so God directed our steps, and we went into this village area, and we were going through these little small pathways through these houses and asking people and getting directions. And, you know, there's no street names. There's no markers like that. It's just like you go to that area, that area has a name, and you go there. And you ask people, you start asking, you know, and they say, "Oh, you go over here," and "You go over here," and then, "Yeah, it's out over here." And they just, and so God is directing our steps, and we went to this lady. Her name was Regina, and she was a deaf lady, and she had 3 children, and she lived with her mother, and also her sister lived there, and her sister had a couple of kids as well. And here they are living in this very, very small room. I would just estimate it was maybe a 10 by 12. And there's no running water. There's nothing. And we could kind of see inside the door that they had the door open, stuff stacked up all along the walls. I don't even know how they even slept in there. And I'm sure some of them probably slept outside. But anyway, that day we got there, Regina was washing her hair outside. She was outside washing the soap out of her hair. And so we let her finish, and then we started talking to her about the Lord in sign language. We were signing to her and inviting her to church, and we shared the gospel with her. She didn't get saved that day, but long story short, she came to church the next day. She brought her son Anthony, her daughter Martha. She brought her other daughter, her youngest daughter Suzanne. She brought 2 of her nieces, Helena and Alice. And they came by taxi that we had sent to pick them up. And they came to our church, and one by one by one, every one of them got saved. Every single one of them got saved. And, you know, it was a divine appointment that day. And now I'm looking back, and I see Anthony. He's one of the children's church preachers. He's a deacon in the church there. And he's married and has a baby. And then his sister, Martha, she's now a pastor's wife, and her and her husband are starting a church in a town called Shama, and it's kind of about an hour from Cape Coast, and so they're starting to work over there, and I'm just like, yes, you know, it's so exciting. It's just so exciting. And you know, I want to just, the reason why I share those stories, because here's the thing about divine appointments. You know, they're great things. It's exciting thing to be involved in a divine appointment. But here's the thing about it. If we're not obedient to the Lord, we'll never encounter those divine appointments. If we're not obedient to the Lord, if we're not going, we're not going to ever have a divine appointment. So the first step in a divine appointment is to open your heart in obedience. And I want you to look in Acts chapter 8. There's no greater story that illustrates this principle than the story of Philip. And Philip was one of the seven that were chosen by the church at Jerusalem. He was one of the seven original deacons in the church there. And we read in the beginning of this chapter, Philip went to Samaria and he was preaching and had great success there. Many people believed and there was great joy in that city. But when you come to verse 26, I want you to listen to what it says here. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And so I want you to get a picture of what's going on here. Philip is involved in, really, if you read this chapter, there's a revival going on in Samaria. In fact, they sent Peter down there, and I believe it was, I'm trying to look here, Peter and John. They went down there to check this thing out because there was some things happening here. There were some lives being changed. And so here's something going on. God's really blessing this man's ministry in Samaria. And now this angel of the Lord says, hey, I want you to rise and go. And all he tells him is he points in the direction. I want you to go from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He said, I want you to just go toward Gaza. Isn't that something? That's all he told him. Now, Philip, we find that he arose and went, it says in verse 27. You know, I want you to think about this. It's anybody can be used of God to bring another person to Christ. I mean, this is not one of the apostles. This is not an ordained preacher at this point. This is a man that was just a deacon in the church that was available to God. And the Spirit of God spoke to him, and he obeyed. He opened his heart in obedience. And it says he arose, and he went. And, you know, he was not even told what was going to happen. He was not even given any reasons why he should go. And I think all of us here tonight are familiar with this story. And I want you to think about this. Had Philip not gone, this Ethiopian would never have come to know Christ as his Savior. He would have never had this divine appointment had he just stopped and questioned the Lord. Well, why, Lord, do you want me to go there? Just give me some more information. And had Philip done that, had Philip not obeyed, he would have missed the joy of leading the Ethiopian to faith in Christ. You know, he could have just said, well, Lord, I'm ministering here in Samaria. There's a lot of people getting saved. But no, he obeyed the Lord. And God led him in this divine appointment to a single individual. Isn't that amazing? I mean, here he was in a city, a lot of people being saved, but God led him to one single individual. You know, one person's important. It's just like Samaria. I think of Samaria. I always think of the Samaritan, the Samaritan woman in John 4. That's what comes to my mind. And, you know, Jesus, he said, we must go through Samaria. And that was a place the Jews didn't like to go. But he went there just for that one. And that was another divine appointment, no doubt about it. It was a divine appointment. And so if we're going to encounter divine appointments, we have to open our hearts and we have to obey the Lord. We have to be willing to go where the Lord leads. We have to be open to the Spirit of God. It's a wonderful thing if you walk in the Spirit and let God make these divine appointments for us. And I really believe that God wants to. He wants to use our church. I mean, there are a lot of people in our community, like this Ethiopian, that they've got an emptiness in their heart, and they're searching. And what they're searching for is what we have. They're searching for the gospel, for Christ. They're searching for joy. And we have to be like Philip. We have to open our hearts and say, Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go wherever you lead me. And, you know, it's not always easy, but it's going to require faith. I'm sure it required faith for this man to just pull up from Samaria and head to the desert, not knowing exactly what he was getting himself into. And I have to say that when I first went to God, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I mean, I kind of had an idea. Well, we had a plan, but God directed our plan a lot different than what we had planned. And we had to just be willing to go and to get there for God to direct our steps to what he wanted for us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we obeyed and we had those divine appointments, because, you know, I can look now and see that, you know, these works are going on. These men are being used of the Lord. These women are being used of the Lord to reach others for Christ. And there's another man that I was recently, it's been probably about 6 months or more, I think, that Michael had told me. We had a member in our church that he joined us kind of in our last, right before we went on our last furlough, I believe, or before we served our last term. And he joined our church. And so he came to our Bible Institute, and he was also from that original work way back. And so he had a little bit of Institute training. So he came and went through 2 years of our Bible Institute. And he also did some interpreting in our church and so on. But now he's gone out to start church. And so that's pretty exciting. That is exciting. So open your heart. You have to open your heart and let God lead you. You know, a lot of times when God moves and we don't like it. We don't like these interruptions to our schedule. We don't like a change of plans. We don't like a redirection. And we don't like delays. But we need to just be willing to listen to God. And so as we go 2020, we need to, you know, yes, our plan may be, okay, we're going to go to this neighborhood over here. And we're going to go in this neighborhood and we're going to pray. Or we're going to go to this neighborhood and we're going to track this neighborhood. We're going to go here and we're going to knock doors. And, you know, but we need to also be open to the Holy Spirit. He may lead us. Well, he wants us to go over this street over here. And we need to be willing to follow him, open our hearts to follow him and see those redirections as God's leadership, he ordering our steps. But here the second step I see in this story is to open your ears. Not just open your hearts to obey, but to open your ears. In verse 29, let's just pick up in verse 27. He says, and he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So here we find that he first opened his heart, he obeyed, he went, and now he had to open his ear and be listening for the Spirit to tell him, I want you to go, I want you to join yourself to this chariot. I want you to go talk to this man that's on this chariot. You know, really, it would have had to have been intimidating, because you read about this man. I mean, it says he was a man of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He had charge of all her treasure. I mean, think about that. I mean, there was a train following him, a train of servants and people that had gone with him. He wasn't by himself. I can guarantee you that. There's a big train of, you know, this man was way up there. He was like second behind the queen. And Spirit tells Philip, said, I want you to go join yourself to that man, to that chariot. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Some of us, sometimes the Lord says, I want you to go over here. And you're like, those people are too important for me to go over there. It's really too important. Listen, we need to open our ears. as we're in the way of obeying Christ, that's when the Holy Spirit leads us to those that he's preparing, whose hearts he's preparing to hear the gospel. And so had Philip not ever opened his heart to obey in the first place, he would have never heard the voice of the Spirit telling him to join himself to this man. And I like the eagerness of Philip in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. See that eagerness to obey. I mean, he just, that's really amazing. He ran. I like this man. He was a runner. I mean, you have to run fast. Think about it. A chariot, man. He had to run and join himself to that chariot. Man, he's back there chasing that chariot. And he runs and he joins himself. So you see an eager obedience here on the part of Philip. And you know, this divine appointment was in the process right here. And it would have been missed had he not obeyed in the first place. You know, the church father, Augustine, he said, "Thou hast made us," he's speaking of God, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." You know, I think this man right here describes this Ethiopian. He was searching. Why did he go to Jerusalem? He went for to worship. And here he is, after having been in Jerusalem, he's on his way back, and he's still restless. He's still empty. He still doesn't have the answer that he was looking for. But he's reading the scriptures. He's reading the prophet Isaiah. And here it says that in verse 30, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as like as a lamb dumb before his shearer, he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." You know, here he's reading out of the great messianic passage, Isaiah 53. A great prophecy about Christ. About Christ being the Lamb of God. Christ being the one whom the Lord laid the iniquity of us all on him. So here he is reading this. Now just imagine how excited Philip must have been. Like, wow, what better text could I have? I mean, here's a man reading Isaiah 53. This is a divine appointment. I mean, he had his heart open, his ears were open. Now, here he is in this divine appointment. And a guy that was searching, a guy that was restless and yearning for truth, he didn't have that rest. But Philip had the answer. Philip had the answer. And we need to realize there's a lot of people like this Ethiopian all around us. People that their hearts are restless. And like last week, we talked about the strongholds. We have to get through those strongholds and, you know, to get to people's hearts and with the truth. And we have to trust God to help us do that. And he will. But we just have to be obedient and willing. But it leads to our final lesson here. Not just open your heart and open your ears, but you got to open your mouth. You got to open your mouth. And this man, he asked Philip in verse 34, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He opened his mouth. So here we have this man, this Ethiopian, reading from the prophet Isaiah about the Messiah. God was preparing this man's heart. He had been preparing this man's heart. No telling how long he'd been working in this man's heart to get him to this very place where Philip comes along and leads him to faith in Christ. And we have to look at stories like this in the Bible and realize that these are things that God is doing in our modern day and time. He's doing right here. I gave you several examples of what happened, of incidents I can remember that were just huge things that of God's leadership and God's divine appointments. And so we need to, like Philip, keep an open heart and open ears, and when the time is right, to open our mouth and preach Jesus. You know, think about the ripple effect that must have came as a result of this man. You know the rest of the story where he saw the water, what hinders me from being baptized, and Philip said, well, if he believes with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he believed with all his heart. He was baptized. But just imagine this man goes back to Ethiopia. He goes back to serve under the queen. And just imagine the ripple effect of his testimony. I wish that we had the rest of the story in the Bible. One day we're going to hear about the rest of the story. But there is no doubt many people that came to Christ as a result of this man coming to Christ. And I see that going on in God. And I'm just the ripple effect of seeing things just spreading out and growing. And it's so exciting. And you know, sometimes I stop and think, had I not opened my heart? How to never open my heart. How to never open my ears. How to never went and opened my mouth. We'd never seen any of those divine appointments. And the same is true of people in this city. Or Go 2020. There's people God is working behind the scenes. He's working in their lives. He's working in their hearts. He's putting that restlessness in them. He's preparing them. He's preparing us. And we have to be willing to go. And if we don't go, then we're not going to see divine appointments. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to do what you can in our Go 2020. We're going to have different teams. We're going to have something for everybody to do. If you can't go out and knock doors, we'll have something else for you to do. But we want everybody to do something. We want everybody to have a part. And I want you to pray about these divine appointments. Pray that God would lead us. And you know, it's easy to get discouraged. I mean, we can go out this first time and there may not be any divine appointments. And we can discourage, like, oh, man. But listen, we need to remember these stories like this. We need to be prepared. You know, God is not interested in our ability. He's interested in our availability. And this man, Philip, he was available. And he was obedient to the Lord. And what about us? Are you willing? Are you willing to obey the Lord? Are you willing to open your heart and say, yes, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And I just want to mention also in this story that this entire encounter is centered around the Word of God. Remember the message last Sunday night. If you wasn't here, go back and listen to it. But about strongholds. You know, we're going out there. There's strongholds in people's minds. And we're to go out there and pull those strongholds down. We're to be casting those strongholds down. Every imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And we do it not through human wisdom. We do it not through the weapons of our flesh. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We talked about the weapons God had given us, and one of them is right here, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. This is God's weapon for bringing down those strongholds. And that's exactly the very weapon that Philip used was the Word of God. He began at that scripture, and it says he preached to him Jesus. So he took the Word of God and he preached to this man the truth, the way, the truth, the life. He preached the truth to this man. And this man's life was transformed because of the living truth of the Word of God. What that visit to Jerusalem could not do. He went there, and you got to realize this is before the temple was destroyed in AD 70. I mean, he went there and they worshiped, and he left empty. But the Word of God is so powerful. It tore down those religious strongholds, and it brought this man to faith in Christ. And we need to keep that in mind, that as we go out, we have these divine appointments. We have the mighty power of God in the gospel. We have the mighty power of God in His Word to bring people to faith in Christ. Sometimes we are so weak in faith. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of obeying God. We have all kinds of reasons, excuses, and we need to just be willing and available. Say, God, use us. God, just use us. And I, as I've said, not every call, not every visit, not every contact will be a divine appointment, but there will be some. There will be some. And if we're not in the process of going, we're going to miss those appointments. I just wonder how many divine appointments we've missed in our Christian life. How many divine appointments we missed because we didn't obey the Lord? Maybe the Lord told us to go visit someone we didn't. Maybe the Lord told us to give a tract to this person at the grocery store and we didn't. I wonder how many divine appointments, because we were so set on doing our thing, that there's some kind of delay in our life and we were getting aggravated and frustrated because, like, Lord. And instead of being open to, maybe God brought that diversion so that we could meet this person and meet their need. And not every divine appointment, let me just say this, not every divine appointment is evangelistic. Not every divine appointment is evangelistic. It may be that you go out and we visit someone. It might be a man that's going through a divorce. We might come across a teenager that's attempting to suicide. We might come across another person that has this heartbreak. Listen, we might come across someone that's going through cancer, and we're there in their time of need, and we can be there to pray with them. We can be there to minister the Word of God to them. And so divine appointments are of all kinds. They're not just evangelistic in nature. But if we don't go, we will miss them. We will miss those divine appointments. May we recognize that these divine appointments require us to be obedient, to have an open heart and an open ear and open mouth, to be in tune with the Holy Spirit who is already working in the hearts of those that He's calling us to minister to. Let's stand and we're going to pray. Father, tonight, as we come to You, Lord, I'm so thankful for divine appointments. I'm so thankful, Lord, for this biblical principle, Lord, that You order the steps of a good man. Lord, I'm so grateful as I can look back in my life and I can see time and time again of divine appointments that You set up. And Lord, had I not listened, had I not obeyed, had I not went, Lord, I'd have missed all those appointments. Lord, I pray that You would help us to see, Lord, that the work that You've called us to do, it's a work that You're equipping us to do. It's a work that You're not only equipping us, but You're preparing hearts of those that You've called us to reach. Lord, help us to see that it requires our obedience. It requires our faith. We have to be in that process of going and obeying to be able to see these divine appointments come to pass. So, Lord, as we prepare as a church for our Go 2020 outreach, Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to have that open heart. Lord, to be willing, to be available, to do whatever You'd have us to do, Lord. Sometimes it's maybe uncomfortable. And Lord, I'm sure it wasn't very comfortable for Philip to leave Samaria and go out into the desert. I'm sure it wasn't easy for him to join that chariot of this man who was great in authority, this man who was a man of importance. But Lord, he did. And because he did, Lord, you did something wonderful in that man's heart. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to have the same kind of obedient faith that Philip had. And Lord, I know and I'm trusting that you're preparing hearts of people. And I'm trusting, Lord, that you're gonna prepare us on that Saturday, the 21st. You're going to prepare us and you're going to direct us and you're going to order our steps to the very places that we need to go that day. And we're going to run across people that you have been working in their hearts. And we're going to intersect at the very right moment in a divine appointment. Lord, that's exciting just to think about it. Just to think about it. And how that a life can be totally transformed. A life can be rescued from sin. A life could be rescued from perishing for eternity. Lord, just because we decided we were going to obey you and do what you called us to do. Lord, I pray now this invitation, Lord, that you would help each of us, Lord, to pray together as a church for this outreach. Lord, that we would pray as a church for our church to unify and work together. And Lord, that you would prepare divine appointments for us on that first day of outreach, Lord, of this year that we go as a church. Lord, I pray that you would help us to also yield ourselves to you. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have courage.